Welcome to a bonus segment of the Blog Sports Show. This is CG Hawk. This is going to be a quick, rapid-fire bonus segment revolving around soccer. We have four soccer recaps here to discuss on the program. Two Chicago Fire matches and two Chicago Red Stars matches to cover. First, we are going to begin with a Chicago Fire match from last week. And this one, frankly, is going to go by very fast. Not a lot of electric moments to discuss. This is going to be more of a paint-by-numbers discussion. But according to how we've set aside these moments for soccer, it will be discussed just the same. Though, keep in mind, it's not going to be electric. So the Fire took on New York City FC on May 22nd on the road. This one was not at the usual Yankee Stadium, but instead it was at Citi Field. Yankee Stadium was full, and they had to switch to Citi Field, home of New York Mets, instead. And for baseball purposes, Citi Field is an excellent stadium to watch a game. State-of-the-art stadium, built in 2009, very new. And as a fan watching baseball, it's always recommended and suggested as one of the better ones. But that does not mean that it carries over to watching soccer purposes. According to fans who have seen games at Citi Field for soccer, and Tyler Terrence and Arlo White of Intercontinental Podcast, who called the game, it is difficult to see anything from the press box, the broadcast booth at Citi Field for soccer purposes. The stadium felt tight and constrictive. The grass was all raw for soccer. As a fan, it was hard to get angles in certain aspects, depending on where you were seated. And they said that it's just overall not an enjoyable soccer venue, which is disappointing. And that's one complaint I have with soccer and other sports in general, is a lot of sports, they just have their one stadium and they're the main tenant. Like, for example, most football teams are the main tenant in their respective stadiums. And baseball, most are as well. Basketball and hockey share, but there's not really any problem with that because it can be changed relatively with ease. Changing to the hardwood for basketball and changing to the ice for hockey, that can be relatively changed fast and there's no issues. But the one that's a problem is, especially when you have to switch from football to soccer, that one's not horrific. That one can be done. For example, it's a good viewing experience at Soldier Field, home of the Chicago Bears, where you can watch the Fire. That's totally fine. There's some other stadiums as well. For example, the Carolina Panthers of the NFL share the same stadium with Charlotte FC, and most people have said that's been good too to watch a game. Where the problem is, oh, and also Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the Atlanta Falcons play. People say it's a great place to watch Atlanta United. The problem is where it goes baseball to soccer. People say that's a problem. And I can understand that because the dimensions of a baseball field are not dimensions that were created specifically for soccer. So it's understandable. Let's move on to the match itself. No more complaints about the piss-poor viewing venue. So for the lineups, first for the home-sided defending champions of the MLS, New York City FC, we have in goal, Sean Johnson. And I want to give a shout-out to him. He used to be a former member of the Chicago Fire. So congratulations to Sean Johnson on winning the MLS Cup last season and now being one of the best goalies in MLS. Defense, Almanson, Collins, Mala, Acheo, Morales, Fiago, Rodriguez, Pereira, and at striker position, Habia. That is starting 11 for New York City. For the Fire, we have in goal, as usual, Gago Celina. Defense, Boris Sekulic, Wyatt Omsberg, Mauricio Pineda, Miguel Navarro, Federico Navarro. In midfield, Gaston Jimenez, Chris Mueller, Gerard Shaqiri, Brian Gutierrez, and finally at striker, John Duran. That was the starting 11 for the Fire. And there, sadly in this one, Kasper Spilko did not start. No Jairo Torres starting as well. And our best defenseman, Rafa Chios, did not play as well. He was unavailable for this match, which was a big loss on paper. So now for the summary of this match. To be honest, this match was incredibly dull. This is one of those snooze fest soccer games when people complain like they're not really a fan of soccer or they just don't like it, which is also totally fine. Not everyone likes the same sport. People are like, it's so boring. This all they do is go up and down the field. Nothing's happening. This is probably one you would not want to show a prospective newcomer or new fan. There was little to none shots on goal. This wasn't one of those electric passing performances where both sides had brilliant passes that just unbelievable action on the field. This was not the case. This heavy defensive slog, and both sides had no really threatening shots on goal, to say the least. This was one where the goalies didn't have a lot to do. And the Fire could have won this one or got a draw if things had got their way. But they just made one mistake that cost them this match in the end, sadly. And the one mistake they made was a penalty kick, which was disappointing, but they had a foul. New York City got the opportunity for the penalty kick early on in the first half. And this was when Miguel Navarro hit a handball in the penalty area. And it went to VAR, so they looked at the decision. Was it going to be a penalty? And as a fan, of course, I was screaming, not a penalty, but objective person. You have to have a different non-biased view. And in the end, VAR and the refs agreed, penalty. So New York City got to choose the penalty taker. It chose their striker, Javier. He had the opportunity. He converted it. Right-footed shot. Bottom right corner. Past Gaga. And devastating. One nil lead for New York City. So the Fire went down 1-0, and they had a few chances. Both sides did here and there. Some missed attempts, missed shots, blocked shots. Nothing really sensational. In the end, the Fire were defeated on the road 1-0. And this game was a lot different than the last one. The one before this was against Red Bulls, and that was an amazing 3-3 draw. That was one of the most exciting games of the year for the Fire already thus far. But this one, complete opposite, one of the most boring so far. But 1-0 loss, not out of the world. And am I sounding the alarms for the Fire thus far? Like, is the season over? No, it's still pretty early in the season, in the 2022 season. But things are starting to get a little concerning on the goal scoring side. Defensively, we've pretty much been pretty good most of the time. And Gaga's been pretty consistently successful as well. But the goal scoring has been a problem. And the goal scoring not in penalty kicks has been an issue as well. And this match, we had so little chances that it was an issue. But let's move on to the next match that we are going to discuss. And I'm going to do both Chicago Fire FC matches back-to-back. Then we'll do the Red Stars matches back-to-back to make it more cohesive. And then conclude this rapid-fire bonus segment. So the next match we're going to discuss was from May 28th. And the road to end the free game road trip at BMO Field, north of the border, in Toronto, Canada. And this is one that the Fire needed to win. Because Toronto, in the past, have been one of the best teams in MLS. They have won a MLS Cup a few seasons ago. They beat the Sounders in an amazing match. But lately, including this season, Toronto has been abysmal. Bottom of the pack. Toilet dweller. Bottom feeder. Their coach has come in and he's not been good whatsoever. And this is one they need to win as well, because their international signee, the man who's going to be rivaling Jiran Shaqiri and like lore and mythos, and like he's going to be the next MLS man. Lorenzo Insigne has not arrived yet from overseas. So the Fire could have taken advantage, maybe, since he wasn't playing yet. Did the Fire take advantage? We'll get to that. So first, for the classic lineups here in this road affair north of the border. First, we'll start as normal here with Toronto's lineup. So for their 4-3-3 format, in goal, Westbrook, defense, Prestero, Salcedo, O'Neill, Thompson, midfield, Arezzo, Bradley, Kia, and strikers with all three of them, Pelozo, Jimenez, and Ikunala. For the Fire, they did some changes here. Coach Ezra Henderson made some adjustments from the defeat against New York City. This one looked a lot different, to be honest. So in goal, we had Gaga, as always. Defense, Boris Sekulic, Carlos Tran, Rafa Chirio's back, Miguel Navarro, midfield, Federico Navarro, Gaston Jimenez, Chris Mueller, Sharon Shaqiri, Jairo Torres back, and striker back as well, Casper Sabilko. That's starting 11 for your Fire. And some changes that were made that were notable were Bran Gutierrez not start, John Duran did not start as well. And some people are unavailable. For example, Chinso Ofor was unavailable. And some other guys, for example, Mauricio Pinedo is unavailable as well. So this is when the Fire needed to get going fast. They need to get on the board early, take advantage of a poor Toronto FC side. Hopefully the Fire could do that. And did they? No. Because early on, after a early 12-minute substitution, Toronto FC got on the board. When Cure had a goal assisted by Jimenez to give Toronto a 1-0 lead. And this was not what the Fire were looking for whatsoever. To allow Toronto to get on the board first was a huge mistake because the Fire do not have an offense that is tailored for coming from behind whatsoever. As a fan, as a person who covers this for fun, that is not any stretch of the imagination, not like, oh, I'm kidding. No, that is the truth. Because Cure, excellent shot, right side of the box, gone. Gaga had no way to get it. 1-0 lead. Fire, two explosive chances after that, but Giannis Sakiri, too high shot. Kasper Sabolko had an explosive header that sadly went to the left. Those are two great chances. We had another one in the 30th minute. Federico had a point-blank shot. Too high, though. And there's some yellow cards, fouls, offsides, both sides. But after halftime, it was 1-0 Toronto. So not over yet. The Fire has still a chance to come back, tie it, maybe win this match. Only down 1-0. It's not devastating. And after halftime, the Fire had three point-blank great shots all in a row that all failed, which was a big problem in the match as a whole. Sharon Shaqiri had a left-footed shot, but it was way too high in the center of the box. It was missed. Chris Mueller, header, point-blank, missed. Howard Torres had a right-footed shot, missed. Just good saves by the goalkeeper. And misses as well was not good. But luckily, in 1 minute later, 52nd minute, the Fire equalized this match when Carlos Thuram had a very close header from deadly range, assisted by Jiren Shaqiri with a cross. So good job on the corner. Good corner by Shaqiri. Got to Thuram, and Thuram made Toronto pay to tie it up at 1. That's one thing Shaqiri's been great with so far in some of the most recent matches. He's been improving on his corner ability, and his crosses have been finding their target. And this was good in finding Thuram, who's not a natural goal scorer, but he was able to get it in the back of the net. 1-1 tie. Miguel Navarro had an unbelievable chance 2 minutes later that was not to be. Now we move to where fans, myself included, though I was not able to watch the match, I was getting updates. I thought this is where the Fire took the lead. This is where I started getting ready to dance, getting ready to burn out the champagne, maybe start partying. No. Because in the 56th minute, Kasper Sabolko, who's been worse than bad this season for us, had a goal past Toronto FC's goalkeeper to give the Fire 2-1 lead. I was so happy. But then VAR came out. The referees put on their glasses, turned on the computer, looked at it, and were like, that's not a goal, my friend. And they took it off the board based on the VAR decision. So the Fire's lead evaporated just like that. And it was still a 1-1 draw, which was emotionally draining because the Fire don't score very often at all. So to get a lead like that and then have it taken away just like that was demoralizing. But the Fire were able to have some semblance of an offense a little bit later. In the 62nd minute, Sabolko had a right foot shot that was right there, only a couple yards out, but it was shot too close off the cross by Rafa Chios, and it was missed. He got a yellow card for his anger after that. Jiren Shaqiri had a shot right next to the right of the box. But it was also missed. In the 66th minute, the Fire took the real lead. This is where I started partying. I started getting crazy. Okay, that's a little too extreme. I was not getting crazy. I was more reserved, but still very happy. The Fire took the 2-1 lead because Kasper Risco, he was able to get a goal after his goal had been taken away earlier. And he had a right-foot shot assisted by Gaston Jimenez with a header. 2-1, Fire lead, 66th minute. Awesome. This was so good. Great opportunity for the Fire to get on the board, tie it, and then take the lead. And would I have said that the Fire lead was safe? No. Even though the Fire's defense has been more than adequate this season, for some reason, when they score very late, they don't know how to hold the leads. They like to throw them away or allow that team to come back and take the lead or win the game. And then they're like, oops, this is one of those. Because just 2 minutes later, Federico Navarro, ginormous mistake. These little mistakes that turn into big ones are hurting the team. And Federico Navarro knows better. He's a talented, experienced midfielder. But he had a horrible penalty. And they looked at VAR to see, was this a penalty? Or was it not? Because it could have been taken away. That would have been great. But after looking at VAR, they agreed that it was a penalty. And Palooza was given that penalty kick opportunity for Toronto. And in the 71st minute, Palooza, one-on-one of Gaga, converted the penalty for a right foot shot just past Gaga to give Toronto the equalizer, 2-2, draw in the 71st. Devastating for the Fire. And after that, there were some missed shots by Casper Sibilko, Torres, Miguel Navarro, more missed attempts. And the Fire's defense blew up in the 78th minute when Toronto's Peluso scored his second goal of the match, assisted by Nelson, to give Toronto FC the 3-2 victory. The worst team in the MLS defeats the Fire, who now have gone 10 consecutive league matches without a victory, which is horrific. And if you're curious for record keeping, when was the last time the Fire won a league MLS match? I know that on top of my head, because even though it was long ago, I know which one it was. It was the one back in March when we beat Sporting Kansas City at home at Soldier Field 3-1. That was the last time the Fire won an MLS game, which is a big problem if we want to not finish last in the Eastern Conference or MLS as a whole, because we're still stuck at 11 points. And if, for comparison's sake, there are teams that are vaulting past us in the standings with 25, 30 points already, almost 30. And we are dead last in the Eastern Conference with 11 points. And overall, we officially now are last, with Seattle and Kansas City pole vaulting us with 13 apiece. So Fire in points last, wins last, and losses not last in losses. Kansas City has the most of 8, but Fire of 7 losses, so we're only one off the pace in most losses in MLS. So Fire need to make something happen fast. And overall, our record, home and away, at home, 1 win, 2 losses, and 3 draws. And on the road, 1 win, 5 losses, and 2 draws. So that concludes our Chicago Fire FC recaps. The next match of the regular season will take place after the national break. So Fire have a little bit of time to gather themselves, do some more practice preparing themselves for the next match, which better be a W, or at least a draw, preferably a W, because what is going on? The Fire have fallen farther and farther off the pace, have looked worse and worse with each match. This is getting to be nervous. It's scary. The Fire's next match of the season is at home against DC United on June 18th at 7 p.m. So that one is must win for me, in my book. Because if they're going to keep losing, might as well just take the season if that's the case. But that's not what I'm looking for. So they better win that one against DC because they're just starting to look bleak. Now we move on to the Red Stars recaps. I want to apologize if that one went longer than I thought it was going to, but there was reasons for that. I just need to discuss all the important opinions, data, and statistics with the Fire's most recent matches. Now for the Red Stars. The Red Stars have played a few matches since we have last talked. The Red Stars' most recent match. First, we'll discuss their one from May 22nd against Orlando Pride. This one was on the road at Explorer Stadium, Orlando. And Orlando have been shaky, not that great this season. So Red Stars had an opportunity to pick up a W in this one, which was what everyone was hoping. For lineups, we have in goal Aaron McLeod for the Pride, Cecilia Delgado, Clary Lawrence, Tony Presley, Cordy Person, Darian Jenkins in midfield, Viviana Victoria, Megan Musoldo, Darian Jenkins, Gladnir Josui, Sydney LaRue, and at striker, Leah Pruitt. For the Red Stars, we have in goal, Lissonnier, defense, Owen Morris, Kill Sharples, Timo Lazo, midfield, Rachel Hill, Varsity DiMonardo, Danny Colaprico, Bianca St. George's, Sarah Griffith, Yuki Nagasato, and a striker position, Ava Cook. That is starting 11 for Red Stars. And the Red Stars offense came to play. This is the complete opposite of the Chicago Fire's latest offense lately. The Red Stars came to play against the Pride, took advantage of their shaky defense and shaky goalkeeping. And right away, they got on the board in the 11th minute. After there were some blocked shots, they were able to get on the board because Sarah Griffith got a header. She was in great place, perfect range. Excellent pass by Vanessa DiBernardo right to Sarah Griffith. Sarah Griffith was able to assess and place her feet, get it into the net. 1-0 Red Stars. Great job by Sarah Griffith to get them the lead early in the 11th minute. Then there's the classic fouls, free kicks, corners, blocked shots, attempt shots, defensive slog. And after the first half, it was only 1-0. So at the time, you said, oh, maybe it's going to be a 1-0 end or close match. Not really a high-scoring affair. But the Red Stars and Pride made some substitutions to try to get the offense ramp it up. Mikhail Kulov came in for Victoria. Mallory Pugh came in for Sarah Griffith. And for Pride, Amy Turner came in for Cecilia Jimenez. And there were some free kicks and fouls, blocked shots, post shot. Rachel Hill had a post left foot shot right at the net, right there, that just missed. So close. But right after that, 1 minute later, the Red Stars scored yet again to get a 2-0 lead when Bianca St. George's, the sensational Canadian midfielder, had a right foot shot from the right side of the box, assisted by Mallory Pugh, who who's been excellent with her passing lately. Great pass, set up Bianca, 2-0 Red Stars. Great job to both parties involved. And Bianca's been getting ample playing time lately. A lot of times last season she wasn't getting playing time. Now she is, and she's showing why she's a very competent midfielder, because she's been getting a lot of goals lately and making her presence known on the pitch. Some substitutions. Jillian Aguera came in for Rachel Hill. Angelad James came in for Tony Presley. And after that, the Red Stars scored yet again in the 64th minute when Mallory Pugh does what she does best. Right foot shot, right corner, money maker, Ava Cook with the pass. 3-0 lead for the Red Stars. There we go. Big lead. Pride looked crushed, and it looked like it was gone. Their chances were down the toilet with the 3-0 lead for the Red Stars. After at least some blocked shots, fouls, missed attempts, and penalties won and lost both sides, free kicks. And it got a little dicey late in the 83rd minute. Amy Turner had a header. Good header by Turner. Assisted by Courtney Peterson, who came in off the bench. This was off a set-piece situation, so they had the set-piece. Turner made Lissonnier and the defense work, and in the end it went in. So 3-1, Red Stars. Some more penalties that were occurred. And the Pride scored again later. But luckily, the next goal was by the Red Stars, because in the 86th minute, Mallory Pugh scored with a shot off a set-piece situation. So Mallory Pugh, second goal in the match. 4-1 Red Stars. And though the Pride scored like right after with a difficult shot by Leah Pruitt, it was over by this point. So the Red Stars pulled out the 4-2 victory. Great job, Red Stars, beating the Pride on the road. Now we'll move on to the next match. This one was from May 28th at home at SeatGeek Stadium, Bridgeview, Illinois. This one, the Red Stars did not get the desired result, but they played very hard, and their performance was nothing to laugh at, which is what you ask for from your home-sided team, and the team you're rooting for. So first for the Forns, we have in goal, Amber Bixby, defense, Rebecca Sauerbrunn, Megan Nally, Kelly Holby, midfield, Natalia Kukia, Nina Shugita, Samantha Coffey, Yasmin Ryan, Jamie Becky, and strikers Morgan Weaver and Sophia Smith. For the Red Stars, we have in goal Lissonnier, defense Zoe Morse, Kayla Sharples, Tim Malazzo, strikers Bianca Rote, St. George's, Vanessa DiBernardo, Danielle Colprico, Rachel Hill, Yugis Nagasato, Mallory Pugh, and Ava Cook. So pretty much the exact same starting 11 as the game against Orlando Pride, except Mallory Pugh started this time, not Sarah Griffith. That was really the only change to the starting 11. Sarah Griffith did come in later, but she did not start this one. In my opinion, Mallory Pugh should be the one to start, because she, offensively, she's the most dangerous and successful scorer on the team. She's probably, I think she did miss one due to injury, so that's why she didn't start against Pride. But this one she did. She had a week to get better. And thank goodness she started, because she, early on, made the Forns pay. So let's get to the action here. So right away in the fifth minute, Mallory Pugh scored yet again, assisted by Ava Cook with a header off a steal, fast break opportunity, right-footed shot in the center where Mallory Pugh likes it to make it 1-0 Red Stars. Mallory Pugh's third goal in two games. Fantastic effort and job. But after that, a big corner mistake by Dan Colabrico led to a corner by the Forns and Yasmin Ryan. Excellent corner kick. She hooked up with Hina Sugita of a very devastating, difficult angled shot that got past Alyssa Nair to tie it at 1. After less than 10 minutes in, it was already 1-1. We had a lot of offsides, free kicks, blocked shots, attempts saved. And this close one, neck and neck affair. 20th minute, the Red Stars scored again. Rachel Hill had a left-footed shot, center, passed Bella Bixby. Ava Cook had a good pass to catch up with Rachel. Rachel got past Bella, and it was 2-1 Red Stars. And sadly, this was the last goal the Red Stars scored. They scored 2, which is pretty good, but in the end, it was not enough, because after both sides fought hard and kept to defense just after halftime had concluded, the 47th minute, Sophia Smith had a right foot shot that was too high. Lesnar couldn't get it and tied it up at 2. And that was it. 2-2 draw between two sides. Both talented, both have skill. And I was kind of bummed out. This was one I wanted to go to in person. It was Pride Night at CKX Stadium, but in the end, unable to go. And DG Vandenbul was unable to go as well. So we're going to have to wait to the next Red Stars match to go to in person. We're hoping to make the next one at home, because that's going to be our first one of the 2022 season. The Mohawk Sports Show has got to get to a Red Stars game soon, because we've covered Chicago Fire games this season in person, Chicago Bulls games, White Sox, Sky. The ones we have not done yet are a Cubs game in person. And this season yet, Red Stars matches. But excited to go to one soon. And the next match that the Red Stars are going to play this season is coming up pretty soon. The next one is on the road, June 1st. Leesburg, Virginia, Sierra Field, home of Washington Spirit. And the next home game is right after the corner next week against the Old Rain, 2 p.m. Central Time at SeatGeek Stadium, June 4th, 2022. So that one is the next home game. DG Vandenbul and most likely will try to make an appearance at that one to cheer on the Red Stars against the hated Olo Rain. Hopefully, the Red Stars can pull out a W in that one, because that would be a fantastic result for all parties involved. So thank you for listening to this rapid-fire bonus-style recap of 4 matches. Fire FC versus New York City FC and Toronto FC. That's Car Red Stars versus Orlando Pride, and finally, Portland Forns. So thank you. Have a good rest of your week. Have a good Memorial Day, and see you next time on the Bullet Hawk Sports Show.